fiscal review, we have exactly one item before us today, and that would be Senate Bill 1030. The issue has to do with excess ERAF, which I know is everyone's favorite subject, but just to remind us all that on the day of our budget deadline, as we were about to move the budget out of our budget committee to the floor, representatives from specifically three counties, Napa, Marin, and San Mateo, brought to our attention that there was a paragraph of wording that would have taken money from counties, cities, special districts, which had paid into the ERAF, but with schools in those districts all hitting revenue limits, that rather than have it go back, as Prop 1A would say, and also legislation authored by Senator Burton in year 2000, to those local agencies, that it would go to the state. And so we were not able to address it at the time, but we did give our word that we would address it in the summer months, and that's what brings us here today. And so with that, I'm going to ask Assemblyman Hill, who is here today, to present our SB 1030.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members, for allowing me this opportunity today.
One second, please. I want to see if we have quorum, or we'll give it a start. Why don't we call the roll, please?
Leno?
Here.
Emerson?
Here.
Allquist? Malfa, Lou, Lowenthal, Negrete McLeod, Simidian, Wolf, Wright.
We do have our quorum. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, and also a thank you to you, Mr. Chair, and to the committee staff for their efforts in this issue and trying to kind of get our arms around the challenge and the problem that was created at the end of the budget session. You've all worked diligently over the last month to resolve these issues, and I greatly appreciate it. The bill before you is a matter of fairness. The budget we passed in June took extra property tax revenue from San Mateo, Napa, and Marin counties. This bill simply corrects that problem and allows the property tax revenues generated at the local level to stay at the local level after the counties have fully funded education. And that's really the simplicity of it. The interesting part is we've had a number of meetings over this matter and this issue, and the most recent one with the Department of Finance, and actually there were members from the Department of Education there as well. And this was a kind of an informational meeting and hearing. And at that meeting, and at that time, the one thing that became clear is that language was inserted, and no one knew if there was any money attached to it, at least was the feeling that I received from that, or that if it had, that there was any real purpose for adding that section to the bill. They could not identify funds, had no idea how much money could be or would be generated from it, and it didn't seem to make sense at the time. So I certainly would look for your support today on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Assemblyman. So those in support of the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Kathy Christian, representing Marin County, one of the affected counties. I want to particularly thank the chair for offering to work on this. This came up at the last minute during the budget discussions, as the chair indicated, and it wasn't possible to deal with it in the limited amount of time we had. And so by offering to work on it in August, we certainly took him up on it. There are other members of this committee that were very helpful in that discussion as well, and the counties very much appreciate it. We do feel that we have complied with the same responsibilities for the schools that all counties have, and the promise made to us some years ago was if we did that, and in addition to that, funded the county offices of education for special ed programs, that the taxing entities in our jurisdictions would be able to retain the excess or extra property tax. I want to emphasize it's not just the counties, it is all the cities in the county and the hundreds of special districts that are also contributing tax entities who will suffer a loss if this isn't corrected. So we appreciate the hard work of the budget staff and the members of this committee and urge your aye vote on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christian.
Good morning. Steve Cruz, on behalf of the County of San Mateo, one of the impacted counties. We also wanted to thank Senator Leno's office and his staff for coming back and addressing this issue. And we did want to emphasize, make it's clear that it doesn't negatively impact schools, and we think that's an important part of this. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen Lang, on behalf of the Napa County Board of Supervisors, excess ERAF is mental calisthenics like I can't even tell you. I really appreciate the work of the Budget Committee, the LAO, Department of Finance staff that all came together to help us resolve this, and urge your aye vote today. Thank you.
Would you like, since you have the mic, to share with us any thoughts about the triple flip in the VLF?
Absolutely not. It's alphabet soup, and I'm just want to get back to finishing up the rest of the week. But urge your aye vote today. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, David Jones on behalf of the cities of Marin County, also suffering from the budget provision, would thank the chair and the members and the staff for working on this fix and would urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Jeffrey Neal with the California State Association of Counties, aligning myself with the comments of my colleagues, also urging support.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else who would like to speak in support of the bill? Would the LAO like to? Mr. Jones, we have a question for you. And then would the LAO please come up, share any thoughts? Yes, Senator Emerson.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, are there any other counties that had a problem with this issue?
As far as I know, the three counties that are here and the cities of Marin are the only cities that I know of that have this problem. I don't know if there's any other cities in those counties that may I guess they
no,
there
I'm
are.
No, I'm talking about statewide.
Statewide. There are only three that I know of that have this particular issue.
Through the chair.
Senator Smitty, I was just about to say, before we go to Senator Smitty, that the determinant is basic aid districts.
Yeah.
Senator Smidian.
And I look to staff to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think while these may be the only three counties that are protected, if you will, by virtue of this language, the same language correction will protect other counties if and when they reach the same status in terms of the number of basic aid school districts in those counties.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Emerson.
Yeah. Are there other issues that could be affected in these counties that are not covered under this language?
I guess you're referring to Amador and Mono counties that are.
There's 58. You can pick them.
Yeah. Well, that is a totally separate and different issue with them having 100% basic aid. It's not an excess ERAP issue in those counties that I represent. So that is a different issue as far as excess ERAP goes. So as far as I know, these are the only three counties that have excess ERAP situations that were impacted by this provision. The special districts and the cities within them were also impacted by that, and they would get relief under this bill.
Thank you. Ms. O'Malley, you were going to join us? It is a complex issue, and so I just wanted to ask a couple of questions, because what we heard from Ms. Christian and others, Mr. Cruz, at the time of our moving the budget to the floor back in June, were the issues of Prop 1A and also Senator Burton's SB 1396, going back to year 2000, which I thought ended any debate as to what happens to excess ERAF and that it does in fact return once revenue limits are hit, go back to those that had contributed those property taxes. So do you have any thoughts on those two issues?
Marianne O'Malley, I'm also joined by my colleague Brian Mueller, who could walk through any of the technical issues you have with excess ERAP. In terms of the Prop 1A issue, yes, there is a significant constitutional question regarding this measure, one that we are not prepared to be able to walk you through or brief, but there are some constitutional issues regarding whether or not this represents a shift of the property tax from cities, counties, and special districts to schools, which would be in violation of 1A. And in terms of the legislation that you mentioned regarding the calculation of excess ERAP, might be good to just give you a tiny bit of the history. If you remember, the legislature in the 1990s created ERAF. At the time, it was about $3 billion shifted from cities, counties, and special districts into an ERAF pot. And those funds have grown over time. They used to be $3 billion. They're now over $7 billion. Under certain circumstances, in reference to that bill that you mentioned by Senator Burton, a portion of the property taxes that are contributed into ERAF go back to the entities from whence they came, all right? They're returned to the cities, counties, and special districts. And in California today, three counties, San Mateo, Marin, and Napa, get back over half of the ERAF funds that they contribute, over half of the funds that their cities, counties, and special districts contribute into ERAF are returned back to those cities, counties, and special districts.
And to put a fine point on it, given that the districts within those counties have hit their revenue limit, this does not impact schools one bit. They're fully funded.
It's difficult. Certainly for any basic aid district, it does not affect. In terms of the property taxes that are going to schools, once the property tax, once the amount of excess ERAF is culled off, in terms of those property taxes, the secondary use of those ERAF funds is for the VLF swap and the triple flip. So there are some cases in San Mateo, for example, where there's excess ERAF returned to the cities, counties, and special districts. And then there are some schools that have their property taxes greatly reduced, sometimes as close to as about zero. And then the state provides additional funding to those schools. And that's for the vehicle license fee swap and the triple flip.
Okay. And then, given your reference to Senator Burton's bill and Prop 1A, if we don't take this action, can you give us your opinion as to how vulnerable the state may be?
I really am not in a position to be able to give you an input information on that.
Okay. All right. Any questions for LAO, for Ms. O'Malley? Senator Evans.
I'd like to move the bill.
Okay. Very good. Any other questions? If not, yes, Senator Emerson.
Well, I do have a question. If we knew about this at the close of our budget over a month ago, almost 2 months ago, why are we waiting until the last day of the legislative session to deal with this issue?
Certainly. It was on the last day of our ability to pass our budget on time that this was brought to our attention. Anyone to begin to look at the complexity of this issue, we did not have what amounted to many weeks of work and convening of meetings and better understanding the situation to get to where we are today to do on that last day to keep our budget passed on time.
I hear you, but that was 2 months ago. Why are we waiting until the last hours of this legislative session to have this discussion?
Just so you could have something to say to me today.
Thank you.
All right. If no other questions, Senator Negrete McLeod.
Since this stuff is really hard to understand, I'm just wondering, under the comments in our analysis, it says that we may be in contravention of the California Constitution.
Senator, could you get a little closer to your mic, please?
The thing is too wide for me. If in our comments, in the comments of the analysis, it says that we may be in contravention of the California Constitution, and you said there was some legality there. Can you explain that to me?
The California Constitution places a limit on how much the legislature can shift the property taxes, to the point where if you were to shift property taxes so that schools get a greater share than otherwise would have been the case, it can be viewed as in violation of Proposition 1A of 2004. Whether or not this provision that was in the trailer legislation would be viewed as in contravention of the Constitution, I'm not certain. There have been very good arguments raised on both sides.
Mr. Chairman, I think this issue is getting even more confusing than it needs to. All of that being said, if we take the action that is before us today, we have reduced or minimized or eliminated that potential threat. Yes?
Yes, if you were to take the provision out, it would not be subject to legal challenge.
Which is what we're trying to do today.
That's right.
Thank you.
And in my opinion, it eliminates. No other questions? I'm going to ask Assemblyman Hill to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members, for the discussion and the questions. I think the basic part, the bottom line, is that what this comes down to is we're talking about between $1 and $4 million. That's it. $1 and $4 million per year in those three counties total. So it's not a large sum of money, and it seems to be the fair thing to do. So I respectfully ask for your vote, members.
Thank you, Assemblyman. Colleagues, we will call the roll.
Leno.
Aye.
Emerson. Alquist.
Aye.
Anderson. Anderson, no. DeSalne.
Aye.
Evans.
Aye.
Fuller.
No.
Gaines.
No.
Hancock.
Aye.
LaMalfa.
No.
Liu. Lowenthal.
Aye.
Negrete McLeod.
Aye.
Simidian.
Aye.
Wolk.
Aye.
Wright.
Ten four. The measure has passed. Thank you all. We are adjourned.